Exodus chapter 14 in your Bibles this evening. Exodus chapter 14. The work of world evangelism has always required sacrifice. From that sacrifice of the love of Jesus Christ, right down through the sacrifice that people make for the cause of evangelizing the world. We gave consideration this morning to the sacrifice that was made by the missionaries that were martyred in Quito, Ecuador. We considered this morning how that there is a sacrifice required in our lives if we are going to do the unusual, the abnormal, and love our enemies as a part of our effectiveness in evangelism. I want to talk a little bit more about another missionary story tonight that speaks to sacrifice. They were 1,000 missionaries who were trapped behind the bamboo curtain in China following World War II. The China Inland Missionary, the China Inland Mission, which had been started back in the 1800s by Hudson Taylor, the China Inland Mission had 1,000 missionaries serving in China when World War II came to an end. Things were really dicey for those missionaries and for the condition of the country, and so the directors of China Inland Mission ordered the evacuation of all 1,000 missionaries to get out of China. One missionary couple by the name of Arthur and Wilda Matthews began to try to get out of the country. They tried to get exit visas, and they couldn't get the exit visas. They waited days, turned into weeks. They tried and tried. All the while, from their place that they lived, the wife, Wilda Matthews, recorded that she could hear the gunshots of the executions in their town as they were executing citizens every day on the athletic field there in their community. And every day she could hear the gunshots, knowing that citizens were being executed every day and knowing that they were not in a safe place. And still, they could not get exit visas. They continued to try, but could not get the exit visas. And the strain increased daily. And she fell into a time of deep, deep despair, overwhelmed by fear, living in a country that was not her own, in a horrible political situation, knowing that people are being executed outside the walls of her home every day, and knowing that she couldn't get out of the country, and she was overwhelmed with fear of what might happen to them if they couldn't get their exit visas to get out. This evening, I want us to take a few moments to think about the thought, get a grip. Get a grip. God is working. Get a grip over yourself. You know, people tend to be ruled either by emotion or character. Which are you? Think of you, your personality, the type of person you are. Do you find yourself more often ruled by your emotions or more often ruled by your character? How does your day go? Does your day, your disposition, your frame of mind during the day, is it dependent on the circumstances around you? Or is it dependent upon the character within you? People tend to either be ruled by their emotions or by the character of their lives. You know, people that are ruled by their emotions often go from crises to crises. The circumstances of life determines their disposition. There was a little rhyme. I was trying to remember what it was. I don't know if I remember the words correctly, but there was a little rhyme that used to say, one day I'm happy, one day I'm happy, one day I'm blue. My disposition depends on you. That's a person ruled by their emotions. You can either make their day or break their day. Their disposition depends on the circumstances around them. They are not in control. They are being controlled by emotion and disposition. And what happens around them is dictating the frame of mind in which they live. But then there are other people that are ruled by character. They're able to keep their emotions in check. Their character maintains the stability in their life regardless of the circumstances around their lives. They are in charge of their emotions rather than being controlled by their emotions. You know, the book of Proverbs addresses that over and over again. There's a number of verses I have underlined in the book of Proverbs that deals with the ability to control your spirit. Proverbs tells us that a person who is not in control of their spirit is like a city whose walls are broken down. Which doesn't mean a whole lot to us because we don't have walls around South Riding. But back in that culture, that would have meant something significant to them because the wall around their city was their strength. It was their safety. With the wall around the city and the city gates shut at night, a marauding band of robbers could not easily gain access and destroy their lives. And so the presence of that wall was a presence of strength, stability, certainty. It helped them with their disposition. And God says, if you are in control of your spirit, it's like living in a city with a protective wall. You are able to control your disposition. You are in control of your spirit or your emotions. And because of that, there is a strength. But on the flip side of that, the person who is controlled by their emotions, the weather, the what happened at work, what happened in the community, and the person's disposition kind of is with the wind of circumstances in life, they are weak. They are like a city whose walls are broken down. They have no strength to be able to be stable in life because they're being controlled by something outside of themselves. They're being controlled by the circumstances of life. And so, when we're facing really tough times, one of the things that's important is to be able to maintain control of our emotions. The children of Israel didn't do a very good job at that. Look with me in chapter 14, verse number 10. Exodus chapter 14, verse number 10. We're kind of at the middle of the verse, toward the end of the verse. Last week we looked at the last phrase where it says the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And that was a good thing. It's a good thing to cry out to God when you're going through tough times. And we talked last time about our prayer lives during tough times. But notice, the Bible says they cried out unto the Lord and they said unto Moses, because there are no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. What a fickle people. Crying out to God and then complaining about everything around them. But it doesn't end there, though. Look at chapter 15 and verse number 24. Just turn a page over maybe in your Bible. Chapter 15, verse 24. The Bible says, and the people murmured against Moses. They didn't have good fresh water to drink. Look at chapter 16, verse number 2. And the whole congregation of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, where we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. Oh, I wish we could have died in Egypt. And then in chapter 17 and verse 3, and the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? I mean, these were emotionally charged people. They were controlled by their circumstances. They were fickle. They were complainers. They were up one day and down the next, depending on the circumstances around them. They weren't in control of their spirit. They were controlled by their emotions, which were controlled by their circumstances. And so this fickle people were very hard. It's hard for Moses and Aaron to lead an emotional people, a people who are controlled by their emotions rather than charactered people controlling their emotions. Difficult for Moses and Aaron to lead this kind of people. And so while they're crying out to God and blaming Moses, Moses has something to say to them. And what Moses has to say to them becomes our rule number 5 in the Red Sea rules. As we all know, Israel has been directed by God down a dead-end valley, down a canyon, a dead-end canyon. There's nowhere to go but forward or backwards. And when they went forward, it ended up at the banks of the Red Sea, and there was no place to go. They'd gone down a dead-end canyon, and they were in a death trap. And there was nothing they could do. Behind them, Pharaoh's chariots were rushing down upon them. In front of them was the Red Sea, and they were trapped. There was no escape. Death was certain, either by the sword or the sea. And we're learning the rules of life that enabled them to face that impossible situation. And through those rules, how we face tough times in our lives. We've looked at 4 so far. We've looked at rule number 1. You are where God wants you. God told them to go where they were. They were in the middle of the will of God in an impossible situation facing certain death. They were where God put them. Number 2, we learned that in tough times like this, we have to be more concerned for God's glory than for our comfort. We learned that God had set the stage. He set this up for Him to be glorified. So whatever the outcome is, life or death, the important thing is not whether they survive or die. The important thing is not whether they suffer or are comforted. The important thing is, what does God want to do for His eternal kingdom in this situation that He orchestrated for His purposes? And so We learned some things about being more concerned for God's glory than for our comfort. Number 3, we learned that it's important to understand our enemy, but to always keep our focus on God. And then finally, we learned number 4, that when we're facing tough times, we need to have a good, strong prayer life. Now tonight, just for a few moments this evening, I want us to add number 5. And number 5 is an important rule for life that comes out of the text in verse number 13. Verse number 13, the people are complaining to Moses, and Moses had a word for the people. And his word was, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." I want you to think just for a moment with me about staying calm while God is at work. Emotional people have a hard time with that. They fly off the handle. They go to pieces. They can't hold it together. They can't maintain calm in the face of very difficult circumstances because their nature is to be controlled by circumstances rather than to be controlled by the character of their lives. And so people like that, like the Israelites were, have to be instructed that there's an important rule to master in your life. It's the rule of staying calm while God is working. And sometimes giving God time to work rather than taking situations into one's own hand and trying to fix it in my timetable. And so the simple rule for life is stay calm while God is at work. Rather than falling apart under the emotion of the circumstances, get a grip and watch God do something. Don't know what God's going to do. Don't know what it's going to result in. Paul said whether it's to live or to die, it doesn't matter as long as Christ is glorified. Don't know what the outcome's going to be. But let's just stay calm because God is here. And He's working in this circumstance in my life. He's working in this tough situation that I'm facing. I don't know what God's action is going to be. But what I've got to do is not be ruled by my emotions, falling apart, blaming this, blaming that. I have to take hold of my spirit. I have to get a grip. And I've got to watch God work. You see, Moses said to the people in verse number 13, fear ye not. Fear is a terrible emotion, isn't it? Fear paralyzes as one panics because of circumstances. You see, what Moses was calling on the people to do is take a step up in spiritual maturity. Rather than falling apart under the emotion of the circumstances, to take a step forward in the maturity of one's life. Because fear paralyzes a person as they panic over their circumstances. But maturity focuses on God and overcomes the pull of circumstances. Maturity is often measured by the ability of a person to keep one's passions under control. Stop and think about that for a minute. The measure of a person's maturity is often gauged by the ability of that person to have a mastery over their emotions. Think of a 2-year-old child with no capacity to calm down. You can say calm down, but they don't have the capacity to calm down. They're laughing and bouncing off the walls, and they are just running with glee. Or they might be screaming uncontrollably and melting down into a rage. And their emotions are in full control. You say, what an immature little child. Yeah, that's immaturity. Immaturity is when you're controlled by your passions. But on the other hand, we don't expect a child who has been trained over a period of years in our homes, we don't expect our child to always be out of control. We teach them how to control their emotions. We teach them how to tell themselves what to do instead of doing what they feel like doing. That's maturity. Physical, social maturity of a child growing up in our homes. We teach them, and some kids are very easy to teach that to. Other kids are very difficult to teach that to because everyone's different. But we gauge maturity by their ability to control their actions based on their character rather than their emotion. We don't expect an older child to not have the capacity to control their emotions. We expect an older child to be able to tell their own emotions what to do, not to do what their emotions tell them to do. And it's the same thing true in spiritual things. God doesn't expect a child that he has been training over a period of time to be controlled by the circumstances around them. God expects a child that he has been training for a period of time to be in control of their actions and their emotions based on their character, not the circumstances. And so when Moses says to the people, fear not, he's telling them, get a grip. Don't be beside yourself in fear. Don't lose it because of the circumstances. Don't fall to pieces because of what's happening around you. Get a grip. Fear not. Stand still. Watch God do something. I know the circumstances don't look good. The clouds of dust mean there are swords and spears rushing down the canyon at you. And in front of you is deep water and no boats. And I know the circumstances say you're going to die today. You're either going to die by the sea or the sword. Take your pick. Go back and let them sword kill you with the sword, or go forward and drown in the water. But either way, it's over today. That's what the circumstances said. But Moses said to them, get a grip. Stand still. Watch God at work in your life. And know that God is at work in your life. Matthew Henry said this. Matthew Henry said, in a time of great difficulty and great expectation, it is our wisdom to keep our spirits calm, quiet, and sedate. For then we are in the best frame both to do our own work and to consider the work of God. Well, that's a simple rule for life. Get a grip. and watch God work through the circumstances that you're dealing with in your life. And if you have enough character to control your emotions in a very difficult, tough time in your life, you will weather the storm much better than the immature person who falls apart under the weight of difficult circumstances. Well, let's turn over to the Psalms. Let's look at a psalm that encourages us in this concept of getting a grip and watching God work. Look at Psalm 37. This is a psalm that is often memorized. At least portions of this psalm are often memorized by Christians who are committing the Word of God to their hearts. And I want you to see Psalm 37, verses 7 to 11. Psalm 37, verses 7 to 11. This psalm is written about being all bent out of shape because of watching the circumstances around one's life. And it's an admonition not to watch the circumstances around one's life, but rather to get a grip and watch God at work. And so, in verse number 3, he says, trust in the Lord. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. And so he's got these wonderful little sayings of encouragement. But I want you to focus for just a moment on verse 7. Verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Now, this is a psalm about losing it over the circumstances of your life. And in this psalm about circumstances, he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Don't get all bent out of shape because around you are ungodly people who are prospering and they're making your life miserable. And so you're going through tough times because of the actions of ungodly men. This whole passage, verse number 1, says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. It's all about the circumstances of evil people around you that make your life difficult and miserable. And he says to us, we need to learn how not to fret over that. Don't lose it. Don't be ruled by your emotions and lose it when things are going really bad because of bad people doing bad things to you. But rather, learn how to rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him. Verse number 8 picks up, cease from anger and forsake wrath. It's easy to get angry. It's easy to get mad, but fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. It's easy to retaliate. Kind of fits in with the message this morning, about loving your enemies. It's easy to get angry. It's easy to retaliate, but that's not good. Cease from all of that, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And so, don't be filled with fret and anxiety over the evil people that are making your life miserable. This is as good as it's ever going to get for them. It won't be long, and they're going to be in hell. Don't lose it because you're focused on the people that are prospering around you. They're living wicked lives. They're not going to prosper very long. What we need to do in tough times is to learn how to be meek, to learn how to rest, to learn how to wait. In other words, to get a grip and watch God work. Now, I'd like to couple that. Let me get you turned to one other passage in the New Testament, Romans chapter 12. I talked about this a couple of Wednesday nights ago in our Wednesday night prayer meeting. This verse kind of came up in something we were looking at, and it kind of couples with what is being said in Exodus and in Psalm. And I want you to see this verse, kind of put it in your mind together. In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 19, the Bible says, Romans 12, 19, the Bible says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. So again, he's talking about not retaliating, not getting revenge, not lashing out against the people that are causing your life to be miserable. He said, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. And the concept of giving place, it's to give a geographic location. It's to give a place. It's to give an opportunity. It's to give room. It's to give space and time for God's wrath to deal with the people that are causing your life to be miserable. Don't take the situation into your own hands. Don't avenge yourselves against those that are causing you discomfort. He says, avenge not yourselves, but rather give some space for God to do what God's going to do. Give God an opportunity to do what He's going to do. You know, it would have been a real shame if Israel would have turned around and picked up some rocks and sticks and charged Pharaoh's army. That would not have been a good move to take the situation into their own hands and to fix this thing themselves. No, Moses said, get a grip, stand still, and watch God work. And that's what Romans 12:19 is saying. It's saying, just give God some space, because God's going to do something. He says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So give God a little bit of space to do what He's going to do. That's an important rule of life when we're faced with tough times in life. To not try to fix it ourselves by lashing out against those who've hurt us, but rather to get a grip. Don't let our emotions cause us to do things that we'll regret later. Get a grip, stand still, and give God space, because He's going to do something amazing. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in concluding a sermon dealing with the disciples in a storm on the Sea of Galilee, Martin Lloyd-Jones said this. He says, I do not care what the circumstances may be. The Christian should never be agitated. The Christian should never be beside himself. The Christian should never be at his wit's end. A Christian should never be in a condition in which he has lost. To do so implies a lack of trust and confidence in God. And so when times are really hard, a rule of life that's helpful is to get a grip and watch God work. Reel in those runaway emotions, bring yourself under control, and give God space to do something amazing. Well, Wilda Matthews was really struggling in the situation she was in China. In depression, despair, filled with worry and anxiety, hearing those gunshots, knowing people are being executed every day in her community, and can't get out of China. It was on Sunday, March 21st, 1951, that Wilda Matthews later wrote about and called Black Sunday. It was Easter, and she called it Black Sunday, because on that day she snuck out of the house. She made her way to a church where a group of Christians were gathered for Easter service, and they were singing a song, He Lives. And she would open her mouth and try to sing, and the words wouldn't come out. The words caught in her throat. She couldn't say them. She couldn't sing them. She was in despair. She was paralyzed with fear. Circumstances had ruled her life. Her emotions were in control of her body. And she was in deep despair. And she couldn't sing. She couldn't sing, He Lives. She turned and ran home. And in her little kitchen, where she had a little footlocker that was kind of like a little bench that she used to pray at, she fell down on her knees. And with trembling hands, she opened her Bible and found in her Bible a place in 2 Chronicles. And she read these words, "The battle is not yours, but God's. You will not need to fight this battle. Position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And those words riveted themselves into her heart. Stand still. This isn't your battle. This is God's battle. Stop worrying. Stop fretting. Stand still and see what God's going to do. And God used that passage of Scripture to work its way into her heart. 2 weeks later, she wrote the words, "The conflict has been terrible, but peace and quiet now reign in my heart." It was still 2 years before she got out of China. But those last 2 years were years of peace and quiet because God had taught her, get a grip. Give God the space He needs. Watch what God does. And in 2 years, every one of those 1,000 missionaries serving with China Inland Mission, every one of them got out of China. It was called the greatest exodus since Moses. Every missionary got out of China that were working with China Inland Mission. You know who the last one was? The last missionary to leave was Wilda's husband, Arthur. He was the last one to get safely out of the country. I'm reminded that when times are really tough, one of the rules I have to learn to live by is to get a grip on my emotions and not be controlled by my circumstances. To have more confidence in God than circumstance. And give God space to see what God is going to do.